Golden Ages of China. A Chinese traveler wrote, "You see nothing in any direction but the sky and the sands, without the slightest trace of a road, and travelers find nothing to guide them but the bones of men and beasts." He was describing crossing the Gobi Desert along the Silk Road. In spite of its name, the Silk Road was not a single road. It was a long chain of connecting trade routes across Central Asia. These routes stretched about 4,000 miles, or 6,400 kilometers, all the way from China to the eastern Mediterranean Sea. For centuries, camels, horses, and donkeys carried travelers and their precious goods along the Silk Road. Travelers braved blowing desert sands, cold and rocky mountain passes, and even robbers. Most of the time, goods they carried were small and very valuable. One, a beautiful lightweight fabric called silk, was so important that it gave the route its name. The Tang Dynasty. China covers much of East Asia. It is an immense land with a varied landscape. In the east are lowland and coastal regions. Fertile valleys lie along the Chang and the Huang rivers. To the north and west of these farmlands are great deserts and mountainous regions, including the Gobi Desert in the north and the plateau of Tibet in the west. Look at the map titled Tang and Song Empires on page 366. Notice that under the Tang, the land under Chinese control stretched westward into Central Asia. Peoples from these distant areas and traders traveling along the Silk Road introduced new ideas as well as new goods to China. In return, the Chinese traded their tea, jade, ivory, ceramics, and silk. Chinese ideas and inventions also spread to other nations. Such exchanges helped China become an important center of trade and culture. Dynasties rule China. Throughout its long history, China has been ruled by many different dynasties. A dynasty is a series of rulers from the same family. For example, the Han Dynasty ruled China from 206 BC to AD 220. After the collapse of the Han Dynasty, China broke up into several kingdoms, but Chinese culture survived. Buddhism spread throughout China, and the arts and learning continued to develop. In 581, the Sui Dynasty came to power. The Sui ruled only until 618, but they united the north and south of China for the first time in centuries. A Golden Age begins. In 618, the Sui Dynasty was overthrown. The Tang came to power and ruled China for almost 300 years. The Tang Dynasty was a golden age of political and cultural achievement. Under Tang rule, China grew in both area and population. Its capital, Chang'an, was the world's largest city at that time. Historians estimate that it was a home to about 1 million people. Chang'an was shaped like a rectangle and surrounded by tall walls for protection. A variety of foods, entertainment, and fine goods were available to those who lived there. The Grand Canal. China enjoyed great prosperity under the Tang Dynasty. One source of China's economic strength was the Grand Canal, which had been greatly extended under earlier Sui Dynasty. The Grand Canal was a waterway that linked the Huang River and the Chang River. At more than 1,000 miles or 1,600 kilometers long, it is still the longest canal ever built. The Grand Canal helped join northern and southern China and made it possible to supply the capital with large amounts of grain grown in the south. A great ruler. The greatest ruler of the Tang Dynasty was Tang Taizong. He began his military career at the age of 16 and helped his father establish the Tang Dynasty. During his rule, from 626 to 649, he was not only a successful general, but also a scholar and historian. In addition, Tang Taizong was a master of calligraphy, which is the art of beautiful handwriting. Tang Taizong worked to strengthen law and order and his own power by promoting the teachings of Confucius. Confucius was an ancient Chinese teacher who had taught that all people had duties and responsibilities. Confucius had wanted to bring peace and stability to China. To create this kind of society, Confucius said, all people must treat one another with respect. Tang Taizong began to reform the government according to Confucius's ideas. The Tang government hired officials trained in Confucian philosophy. It also began land reform, giving more land to peasants who farmed it. The Song Dynasty. After 850, China's control of its westernmost lands weakened. Then fighting among different groups within China ended the Tang Dynasty. Order was restored about 50 years later by the Song, the dynasty that ruled China from 960 to 1270. Changes in government. At the beginning of the Song Dynasty, the Chinese capital was located at Kaifeng along the Grand Canal. After the Song lost control of regions to the north, they moved the capital to Hangzhou, near the coast. The Song rulers made many advances in government. They expanded the merit system of hiring government officials. Under this system, officials had to pass tests and prove their ability to do the work. Before the Song, officials came from rich and powerful families. They were allowed to keep their positions for life, even if they did not do a good job. Hiring people based on their abilities, rather than on their wealth or social position, greatly improved the Chinese government. Changes in agriculture. Changes in agriculture were a major reason for the growth of China's economy during the Song Dynasty. This period saw a huge increase in the production of rice as well as new and better farming methods. Let's look at how and why these changes happened. Reasons for agricultural changes. There were several reasons for the changes in Chinese agriculture. The first was the movement of farmers to the fertile basins of the Changjiang River in southern China. During the Tang Dynasty, northern China was the wealthiest and most populous part of the country. But wars and attacks by people from Mongolia drove many landowners to move south. Under the Song, southern China continued to grow. By 1207, about 65 million people lived in the south, compared to 50 million in the north. The move to the south changed what farmers grew. Northern farmers had cultivated wheat and millet. These crops grew well in the north's cold, dry climate. In contrast, the south's climate was warm and wet. Wetlands covered most of the Changjiang Valley. These conditions were ideal for cultivating rice plants, which need a lot of water. Rice farmers, though, had their own problems. Rice crops were frequently destroyed by drought, which is periods of dry weather, and violent storms called typhoons. Even if a crop survived, it took 5 months to mature from planting to harvest. During the 11th century, a new kind of rice was brought to China from Southeast Asia. The new type of rice was resistant to drought, and it matured in 2 months instead of five. Now farmers could build at least two crops of rice each year, and rice production boomed. Production increased even more with new and better farming techniques and tools. An improved plow and harrow, which is a farm tool used to break up and even out plowed ground, made it easier to prepare fields for planting. Farmers began using fertilizer to produce larger crops. A device called a chain pump, which is a pump with containers attached to a loop of chain to lift water and carry it where it is wanted, helped farmers irrigate land at the edges of lakes, marshes, and rivers. To grow rice on hillsides, farmers created flat areas called terraces. More and more land was devoted to farming, and landowners became wealthier. Characteristics of the new agriculture. Imagine visiting a farming area in southern China during the 13th century. Small farms cover every bit of suitable land. Terraced hillsides spread as far as the eye can see. Rice grows on the terraces in flooded fields called paddies. Elaborate irrigation systems crisscross the paddies, bringing water to where it's needed. Early in the growing season, you can see water buffaloes pulling a plow and harrow to level the fields and prepare them for planting. The seeds have been growing in seed beds for a month. Now workers will transplant the young plants to the paddy. Growing rice takes a lot of hard work done by many hands. In the fields, large numbers of workers walk backward as they transplant the rice plants in straight rows. 2 months from now, the workers will harvest the rice by hand. Before and during the growing season, the rice paddy has to be constantly watered and drained. Dams, dikes, gated channels, and chain pumps help to move water into and out of the paddies. Although rice is the main crop, peasants also grow tea, cotton, and sugar. To feed silkworms, they grow mulberry trees. In the Southern Hill area, you see tea plants. The Chinese had once used tea only as medicine, but by the 9th century, tea was the national drink. Tea drinking became a social custom, and tea houses become popular. To meet the demand, farmers grew more tea. Results of agricultural changes. The shift to rice growing was an important development of China. First, it increased food production. The abundance of food helped support a larger population. For the first time, China's population grew to more than 100 million people. With ample food, peasants could take time away from farming to make silk, cotton cloth, and other products to sell or trade. Rice farmers could also market their surplus rice. Landowners became rich enough from growing rice to buy luxury items. All these changes encouraged the growth of trade and commerce, which we will look at next. The growth of trade and commerce. Trade and commerce had already begun growing during the Tang Dynasty. Tang emperors eased restrictions on merchants, and they actively promoted trade. Products like rice, tea, silk, jade, and porcelain traveled along trade routes to India, Arabia, and Europe. Under the Song, business activity blossomed even more. Reasons for growth in trade and commerce. One reason for the growth of trade and commerce was that wealthy landowners were eager to buy luxuries. The demand for luxuries encouraged traders as well as Chinese artisans who made silk and other goods. Commerce was also helped by water transportation. A vast network of rivers and canals connected different parts of China. Farmers in central China could ship their rice north along the Grand Canal. Busy boat owners had plenty of business because it was cheaper and faster to move goods by water than by road. A barge, which is a large boat with a flat bottom, could travel 45 miles a day compared to 25 miles a day for an ox cart. Improvements in navigation helped increase overseas trade. Navigational charts and diagrams, along with the magnetic compass, which was a Chinese invention, made it easier for sailors to find their way on long voyages. With so much buying and selling going on, people needed more currency. Currency is the form of money used in a country. During the 11th century, the government minted huge numbers of copper coins, so many that there was a copper shortage. Moneylenders began issuing paper money to merchants. The idea caught on, and the government printed paper money in large quantities. The increase in currency further spurred the growth of commerce. Characteristics of China's commercial growth. Let's take a trip on the waterways of China in the 13th century. Our first stop is at a market town along a canal. The canal is crowded with barges loaded with rice and other goods. The barges are sailed, rowed, or pushed along with the help of long poles. Ox carts and pack animals trudge along the roads and over the bridges that cross the canal. Peasants are coming to town to sell their surplus crops and animals, as well as things they have made at home, such as silk, charcoal, and wine. On the streets and bridges, merchants have set up small shops to attract customers who are visiting the city. Street peddlers sell goods from the packs they carry. You also see deposit shops where merchants trade long strings of copper coins for paper money. Paper money is much easier to carry around, but unlike copper, it has no value in itself. If there is too much paper money in circulation, it loses its value. For this reason, the government controls the amount of paper money that is available. It also threatens to cut off the heads of counterfeiters, which are people who print fake money. Let's continue our journey to a port city on the eastern coast. In the harbor, men are loading silk, ceramics, rice, and sugar and rice wine into sailing vessels called junks. These ships are big enough to hold several hundred men. Notice their sails, which are made of bamboo matting. The junks will soon depart for Korea, Japan, Southeast Asia, India, the East Indies, and even Africa. They will return loaded with indigo, spices, silver, ivory, and coral. Results of growth in trade and commerce. The increase in trade and commerce had several effects. First, it resulted in the growth of a merchant class. Second, business activity brought increased prosperity, giving China the highest standard of living in the world. Third, many commercial centers grew into big cities. You'll learn about China's increasing urbanization in the next section. Urbanization. Urbanization increased during the Song Dynasty as cities sprouted up all over China. Chinese cities became the largest in the world. The city of Hangzhou had perhaps 2 million people within its walls. It's no wonder that Marco Polo was impressed with the cities he visited. European cities of this period had no more than 50,000 residents. Reasons for urbanization. Why did the growth of cities increase under the Song? One answer is that the growth of commerce encouraged people to move to cities and towns. There, people could make a living as merchants, traders, peddlers, and shopkeepers. In addition, landowners left their farms because they preferred the shops and social life of the cities. More people brought still more opportunities for businesses, and cities grew even larger. Characteristics of cities. China's cities at this time were crowded, exciting places. The crowds in Hangzhou astonished Marco Polo. He wrote, "Anyone seeing such a multitude would believe it impossible that food could be found to feed them all, and yet on every market day all the market squares are filled with people and with merchants who bring food on carts and boats." Let's stroll through a typical 13th century city. The streets are filled with rich landowners, merchants, traders, moneylenders, and visiting peasants eager to sell their surplus crops. Signs in the market area identify the goods sold in each shop. Silk, silver, pearls, food items, fans, liqueurware, porcelain, and many more. In the environment, area musicians, jugglers, acrobats, and puppeteers perform outdoors. There are theaters, restaurants, wine shops, and tea houses. Food vendors carrying trays of food on their hands provide plenty to eat. You might be surprised to see young girls whose feet are so tightly bound with cloth that their toes are bent under. The girls will grow up to have tiny feet, which the Chinese consider beautiful, but they will also have difficulty walking. The custom of foot binding first became common during the Song Dynasty. It marked a decline in the status of women. Some followers of Neo-Confucianism taught that women were inferior to men. In addition, women in cities did not take part in farm work. In the countryside, women enjoyed greater status because they did do farm work. Results of urbanization. The growth of cities changed the way many ordinary Chinese lived. Cities were vibrant centers of activity, from buying and selling to hobbies and board games. Public works provided employment for many city dwellers. Urbanization also stimulated culture, giving artists an audience of wealthy, leisured people. Paintings produced during the Song period are considered some of the finest in the world. The arts and trade. Chinese rulers supported many different forms of art, including music and poetry. During the Song Dynasty, artists created the earliest known Chinese landscape paintings. They were painted on silk and featured peaceful scenes of water, rocks, and plants. The Chinese believe that such scenes helped both the painter and the viewer think about important forces in the natural world. Song rulers also prized great graceful art objects, such as those made by porcelain, a white and very hard type of ceramic. Because it was first made in China, porcelain is often called China. For hundreds of years, Chinese craftspeople produced the finest ceramics. Because the Chinese produced the best porcelain in the world, it became an important item for trade. Another item of great beauty and value was silk. It was so beautiful that it was called the Queen of Fibers. Silk comes from the cocoons of caterpillars called silkworms. For a long time, only the Chinese knew how to make silk. Even after others learned the method, Chinese silk was still the highest quality in the world. People in Southwest Asia and Europe were willing to pay high prices for Chinese silk. Printing books and learning. One of the historic Song inventions was a new way to print books. For centuries, the Chinese had carved the characters of each page onto a wood block. They brushed ink over the carving and laid a piece of paper on it to print the page. Printers could make many copies of a book using these blocks, but carving the block for each page took a long time. Around 1045, Bi Sheng developed a printing method that used removable type. He made many separate characters out of clay and rearranged them to make each page. During the Song Dynasty, books became less expensive. In earlier times, only the rich could buy them. With more people able to afford books, the number and kinds of books increased. More people, including women, also learned to read and write. By the 1200s, books about farming, medicine, religion, and poetry were in print. They helped to spread knowledge throughout China. This song saying reflects the new importance of books. To enrich your family, no need to buy good land. Books hold 1,000 measures of grain for an easy life. No need to buy a mansion. In books are found houses of gold. A Song Emperor.